Today's the 6th of October, and doing a little visit with Tom Wickham. And so I'll just begin, Tom, maybe take us back to, you're at Loras College and finishing up. How did that all occur, where you wound up at Western Dubuque?
Well, it's the first interview. I actually interviewed down at Muscatine, and they had kind of a shared time program where I could have taught Latin, and I had a minor in Latin. I really didn't want to teach Latin. And the guy tells me that history teachers are a dime a dozen, which I didn't appreciate hearing that. So then I interviewed at Holy Cross with Father Hemsath and
Father John.
Yeah, they had a deal where they had a pretty new house they'd built right next to the cemetery and the school that we could have got that for free and $4,000 salary. But Father John kind of hesitated a little bit. In the meantime, Brenda gets a call from Wayne Drexler, and I don't know, I talked to Bud Noonan not too long ago, and he says that he remembers telling me about it in front of the Loras Fieldhouse. So either way, I met Wayne at Piasta, and there's this house, and he says, well, yeah, this is a school. And so we go in the front door and walk up the steps to go upstairs, and there's a huge area that's kind of an open study hall type of a deal where you could sit all 47 of the kids that were at Piasta. So that was the interview. We never sat down at a desk or anything. He was a buddy of Bud Noonan, so I think he kind of knew what he was getting. And I remember him telling me, Ralph Buckman's your principal, and he's a peach of a guy. Yeah, so you'll like him. But I never even met Buck before they end up hiring me. So
that was like in the spring of your senior year?
Yeah.
So you were married by then, right?
Yeah, I was married my senior year, and it's kind of funny how, you know, when you do things. I had coached Cathedral grade school kids my freshman and sophomore year, basketball and softball, and then the last summer, I think, I was assistant coach for St. Pat's Holy Name League team. And Bud Noonan and his brother Frank both were coaches, one at St. Anthony's, one at Nativity. And, I never really made the connection that, this might have something to do with what you were going to do the rest of your life. And so
kind of made a connection through their coaching.
Yeah, and I think he probably saw me playing intramurals and things, Bud did. And so that was how I was hired. So, like I said, 47 kids, 23 boys, and 24 girls. I taught junior history the first year. There's seven kids, so it was kind of hard for them not to do their homework.
What was your starting salary?
It was $46.50. Our base was $44, and we got $250 for coaching baseball and basketball.
That was fall and spring baseball.
Yeah. And the first night we had a kind of an eighth period, which was you could start practice early. And in high school, Epworth had that for a while too. So baseball in the fall, we go out and we're practicing, and all of a sudden the buses pull up and the bell rings and all my kids run off to get on the bus at 3:15 or whatever it was. Well, I ended up changing that. But I guess the coach before me, that's all they practiced was that 45-minute last period day. So we had basketball. 22 of the 23 boys came out for basketball, of course. A.J. Spiegel was my point guard, okay. quite left-handed, I might say, but he told me later that he missed 54 days his senior year. I said, well, you were always there for baseball and basketball practice and games.
who put the schedules together back then?
Well, Buck was officially our principal, and I think he did. Irene Hall lived in the back of that house, and she had to stoke the furnace. And she was a little on the traditional side. I remember there were two young teachers that had just graduated from college, and we had to have somebody that would sell the pop and candy bars during the game, and of course I needed somebody to keep score. So Irene Hall told Dave Stetson to be the scorekeeper and Jim Davis to be the pop seller. Well, I find out that Jim Davis, the pop seller, used to keep score at the U of Dubuque. So I had to negotiate this with Irene Hall, which was, and then of course the guy was a business teacher that had to make the change. So I said, you got to be a little flexible, and she threw that back in my face quite a few times through the year. But it was fun group. So, some of the teachers taught at Epworth, and in fact, both of them did. I think I was the only full time teacher at Piazza. I had all the physical education. I may have told you the story. Oh, we lost the Buck over in the Cracker Box really bad, 72-38 or something like that. Here's the 2-3 zone, and they were almost holding hands, and we're running into the pole. And so then we played them later in the year, and Buck would stop at our school, and then he'd go down to the elementary schools, Bernard, somewhere. So he came in the first period, and that was the period we had phys ed. And he says to Tim Scale, what are you guys doing? Tim says, well, we're working on plays to beat you. Of course, I was supposed to be a teacher in phys ed. The lines were a little blurred back then. And then we did beat them 41-40. Buck accused me of undoing the one light under the basket.
Was that with one official or two?
Oh, there was two officials, I think. Yeah.
I remember back in that period, I was going a couple places where it turned out there was just one official.
Yeah.
But, so that was 61-62.
Yeah.
And so by the end of that year, the high school was under construction?
Yeah, they were building it that year, and then we moved in. In the fall of 62, was far from being done. They had no cafeteria. The gym wasn't done. They were still pulling wire and getting electricity in some of the rooms. I remember one day Buck come in and says, and you'd have a worker back there. He says, one day, they need to do some real, real big time stuff. Can you move your class outside? My history class. So we went out by the football field, and I had them sit down. I was at the bottom of the hill, and then we had our history lesson, and some of the kids were saying, well, this is like the Sermon on the Mount, Mr. Wickham. But Buck was how small our school was. I taught all the U.S. history, so there were like 70 juniors probably, two sections. I taught all the boys and girls phys ed in the school, and Buck and then Hermie came at semester and he took some of the phys ed classes. But Buck was a boys basketball and baseball head coach besides being principal of the elementary schools. And I felt I was a sophomore, of course, and poor Buck, I felt sorry for him because. The gym didn't, I think the middle of January, the gym was about ready to go, and our glass bank boards came, and one of them was shattered. So we had been playing all our games on the road, nowhere to practice. We practiced in the Epworth Cracker Box in the Farley Multipurpose Room. And then he had kids from every school that were blending together in that first year. We had kids from New Vienna, Cascade, Farley, Piazza. And so we didn't play any home games till the end of January or maybe a little earlier, the 20th. And they were finally starting to get together and then the season was over.
Okay.
But and then he gave up the basketball let's see, did he give it up? Yeah, I guess he gave the basketball up that year. Then I became the basketball coach. Yeah, 63, 64. That was my first year.
Okay, well, what about baseball?
He kept the baseball. He loved baseball. And so he kept the baseball till, I think, till Carl Hyen came.
Okay.
And Carl became the head coach. And I was at Buck's assistant till Carl came, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so that was 63, 64.
Yeah, I think Carl might have came in 65 or something.
Okay, so...
It could have been 64, 65. Carl might have came.
So at some point then, during that period, there was another bond referendum regarding Farley?
Well, that was later, because Farley didn't open until 69, so
right.
Probably had the referendum in 67 or 68. 67. Something like that.
So you stayed then at the high school.
I only actually taught at the high school 4 years, at the high school level. And then luckily, I mean, I was just lucky that everything worked out. But, I had started a master's program at Loras. I started the first two summers I was in history, and then I switched to educational administration, and. Well, we had three kids by then, starving to death. So Buck, and Buck, our high school was growing quite a bit every year. So,
oh, yeah. Cause
so Buck gave up the elementary in fall of 65. I became the first elementary principal. I had all the schools, and then Buck just stayed at the high school. And he was still coaching the baseball, I think he was. But.
Okay. You were still working for the railroad back then? Or?
Yeah, I worked on the railroad from 58 till like 67 or so. I thought, I worked like a couple nights a week.
What'd you have to do? Or?
Technically I was a clerk, but I was kind of like the night yard master. I'd work with the switch crew, and I'd have to check the cars. And we had passenger trains back then. We had actually three passenger trains would come in while I was working.
Okay.
Land of Corn would come in. I'd have to sell tickets and little baggage on the card and mail. There were mail we had on load, too. So, and then there was two night trains in the middle of the night. So I'd work two or three nights, and I'd work vacations in the summer.
So I remember that.
Yeah.
Land of Corn, because I had an uncle, and he lived in Chicago, and he worked for the Illinois Central, but he also had a drinking problem. And
many railroad guys did.
Yeah, so, at any rate, he'd go on a drinking binge, and my aunt would call out to our farm and say she was sending him out for a while to dry out.
Oh dear.
We'd have to go pick him up at Independence, get him off the train and take him home. And he'd be there for 4 or 5 days, and then we'd ship him back to Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of the railroads, well, you know, they were, if you were a trainman, which my dad and my brother were, you'd go out on a job one day, and you'd stay overnight in Freeport or Rockford or wherever you're going, Fort Dodge, and then you'd come back the next day, and then you had the third day off. So you're on the road 2 out of every 3 days, and you're away from home.
Yeah.
1 out of 3 nights. So. It was easy to
develop a problem.
Develop a drinking problem. There was probably tradition there too.
So were they like engineers or?
They were brakemen and car conductors.
Okay.
Yeah, they were on the rear end of the train. Contrast the engineers. And
I always thought that was such a travesty when they got rid of the cabooses.
Yeah.
What's a train without a caboose? But.
Well, I graduated from high school, I was going to work summers, and I went to Waterloo and took some tests, and I did well on the academic tests. You had to have 20/20 vision to be a trainman back then. It couldn't be corrected either.
Really? Okay.
So I didn't work that summer for the railroads, and then the next summer I went back as officially a clerk, which you could do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But there were neat experiences. And when I finished up my last year, when I got my degree and became a teacher, I could have made the same amount of money working full time at the railroad. But I could see that the future was probably going to be brighter in education.
So you started on your master's at Loras, then.
Yeah, I actually started the first summer. I don't know why I did, but it was kind of a good idea. Because in 66, there were five of us who got our master's, and I was in that first group of Dick Wright.
I remember Jim McCarthy told me, must have been 63 or 4, 63 maybe, said Matt Lawrence is going to start a master's program. Mm-hmm. So I got started in 64. I remember it was $20 an hour was the first tuition cost.
Well, the first two summers, the Catholic University actually had a program there. And I went to Catholic U the first two summers, 6 weeks. And then they pulled out, and Loras did start a program. I was able to transfer my credits. Okay.
So how many summers did you go then?
Six.
Okay.
Six hours every summer, 36. When did you get yours then?
I got mine in 67.
Okay.
64 summers.
Okay.
And at any rate, so then was 67. So then Farley opened up for you.
Not till
69.
And but we had Dick Walu was teaching. He was teaching English at the high school, and I had six schools. I was teaching elementary phys ed to the older kids too. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Dick became the principal of Bernard and Cascade. So then I just had the four. I don't know whether that was 1 year or two. And then I helped when they were making the plans for the Farley School, and that was supposed to be a huge school. And but by the time it opened, we were out of room already. instead of having two sections of some grades, we had four.
Yeah,
and the middle school or junior high kids that had grown so fast too, so wasn't long. We pretty soon we had 14 portables, like the high school and everybody else.
Yeah,
but we had 1,120 kids there at one time. We had some shared time parochial kids from St. Joe's, and. We had the older special needs kids, so we had kids at preschool. We had kids probably from 3 to 21, and we had K through 8, which was a pretty good spread. I mean, you were there for some of that.
Oh yeah.
And but it worked pretty good. You know, we tried to keep them separated.
Eventually, the older special needs kids and went over to Epworth at some point.
Right. Yeah, well, I think they went your way to Dyersville.
Well, I did have them for
a while, and then they came back to our place, and then they went to the high school where it's more age appropriate.
And I don't remember what the year that was.
I don't either.
But okay.
That first year of teaching, I remember, like I said, we didn't have a gym, so I was a phys ed teacher. And we didn't go to the gym till the middle of January, so we did have blacktop in front of the school, and we didn't have nearly the cars that they do nowadays. So, and we had these big targets and archery equipment. So I would take the girls out there on the blacktop, and I remember we were out there in December, and the girls were wearing their fur coats, and we're doing archery, and then I would take the boys up on top, and we would play. You know, I had like 36 kids in the first period, boys, phys ed, and we'd do football up there, and I don't think
that kind of a level.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty level. We'd do some drills and stuff and go over some fundamentals, and then the kids were good about it. They liked,
activity,
organized games, and then we had intramurals too. But Dave Walker helped me with the intramurals. I kind of remember that. And then I went to one of the reunions of 50 year one last year or last summer. I remember the Conley girls from Farley. They were good archer. Good at archery. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. What strikes kids and people that they remember certain things that were important to them when they were in school and back in those days.
I remember just that. One thing I remember is kind of funny because they were doing they're putting the floor tile down right outside the locker room, and there was a door that went out to the north. But unfortunately for the guys that were putting the glue down and doing the tile, we had to bring the targets with the hay over out that door, and the targets, hay is getting in the tar, and they weren't too happy with us, but they were paying by the hour, so I'm just saying it's fine.
Well, okay, so then that was, that was the years of the Eastern Iowa Conference, of course.
Yeah.
Lots of memories of those games, and home and away, and...
I did not realize. Who is this?
Yeah, we were the only public school in the league. Initially, there was five or six schools, high schools probably. And, we had obviously Cascade, Akron, Farley, St. Joe's, Holy Cross, New Vienna. Am I missing one other
Bellevue
one?
Marquette.
Who?
Bellevue Marquette, was it?
Well, they came in a little later.
So they were later?
They came in a little later. And then later, even later than that, then we added, Guttenberg might have been in there, Ryan.
I'm thinking Ryan, maybe.
Yeah, for a while.
But.
And then Owen, Sacred Heart. And
yeah, that was later
they
on.
They came in later, yeah. 67 or 66 or something like that.
Well, the big thing for the year was the conference tournament. Which was either going to be at Cascade or Epworth, because those are the two biggest facilities. I just remember people in the rafters.
Oh, yeah.
For those games. I mean.
Yeah. I remember when we won in 65, it was at our place, and they were lined, or they were standing right next to the out of bounds play under both baskets. The players were pretty limited where they could go for the ball. It was that was the only game in town back then, I guess, because they really packed in for that.
Yeah, no cable TV or no other distractions. That was, if you wanted to be entertained, that was the place to go, that's for sure.
What year did you start at Farley
Central? I started at 64 or 65 was my first year at Farley. I had Dick Phillips. I remember Dick Phillips was on that team. And Dick was a pretty good athlete, but he had very slow feet. And I think he had the record for falling out basically of about every game, as I recall. He never seemed to be able to finish the game. But at any rate, so you guys, you guys took buses to away games back then. And
yeah. Yeah. Like the first year at Piasta, like I said, Irene Hall made the rules, so she told me right away we had four cheerleaders. So four cheerleaders would sit in the two seats in the front opposite the driver. And then I think I was supposed to sit right behind the driver, and the players were supposed to sit in the back. And can we call that the Piasta Shuffle there? It talked about Eastern Iowa Conference, and then the first year I coached at Piasta, I probably told you this story, but we didn't have any divisions. We lost our first five games, baseball games, that was coaching. And we then went down to Bellevue, and it was almost dark, and we beat them in an extra inning game or something. But in the spring, we drew, in the first round of the state tournament, we drew Walter. I had student taught there, and I coached the Holy Name League, and I knew a lot of those kids, and they were very good ball players. They'd been second state the year before. We draw them the first round, so it's a Saturday in the spring. I think we're playing at Epworth, the Des Moines Word Field or something. And so we come to the field, and we only got eight guys. So I says to one of my guys, well, they said, Marty Kramer's plowing right over the... over the hill. I says, go get Marty and get a uniform and bring him here. So they got him off the tractor. He was our ninth guy. We're playing Eddie Colbert, who I had student taught and worked with in the coaching. And so I knew it wasn't going to be a good day. We did the toss and we won. And you always want to take last bat, and I hesitated because I wasn't sure if we could get them out. But I did take last bat, and we did get them out. But unfortunately, we did get them out when the score was 9-0, and A.J. Spiegel speared a line drive that was going over the right center field fence. He got the third out. So then we batted, and then they batted again. It wasn't going well. So I bring Jerry Wired in. He was about the fourth pitcher, and he was a senior and threw very hard, but he never knew where it was going to go. But he did get him out, and we lost 25-0. Had we not caught that ball at 9-0, it would have been a 10-run rule, and we would have been done. But we had to go that second inning. So that was quite embarrassing, to say the least, to see the headlines in the paper the next day, 25-0. And I've told A.J. about that more than once, that he shouldn't have caught that ball.
Could have saved further embarrassment.
Yeah.
Oh,
but God. They had no divisions back then, and it was... And they had 2,400 kids, and we had 23 boys.
Yeah, that's, I guess that eventually, somebody in the Athletic Association eventually felt that maybe there should be some divisions made. And actually, from a financial standpoint, I think it probably made a lot of sense as far as being able to advance into the districts or whatever. I always thought it was amazing regarding the back in that era of the 50s and 60s. I did a little work for the with the Telegraph Herald regarding the Archdiocese tournament because I played in it. And at any rate, I worked with Bud Legg from the Athletic Association. And I was curious because there were about 40 parochial high schools in the Archdiocese.
Yeah.
And I asked Bud Legg if he would research, and I don't remember ever hearing of a parochial high school advancing to the state tournament during that period of time.
Yeah.
And he did research it, and he said, you're right, that never happened.
Not until St. Mary's Clinton, maybe? Was that
well, first but they were, so that was the Davenport Diocese.
Oh, yeah.
I was just...
That's true, yeah.
Connected with...
Yeah.
And I, like even Morris Academy. And
they went in 48, but the state...
They did go to 48?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're right, all those... Well, they weren't too big schools. They did have, what, four or five divisions.
I was always thinking, like, why didn't, like, Illinois State Heart, they never advanced. Even with those good teams they had.
Did they have two high schools at Owain for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that probably part of it then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But at any rate, there was right at 40 high schools, and by 1965 there was probably, I don't know, a dozen or so maybe left, something like that. Anyway, so back into the, you're going into the 70s middle school, elementary at Farley, what other memories do you remember about that period of time?
It was a busy time. Like I said, it was a pretty good-sized school. The first year, I didn't have an assistant, and we had a lot of kids. And everything was brand new in terms of setting a program up and in terms of setting up a schedule. And you didn't have any precedent. So I organized all that, and then we probably, I'm not sure, at one time we had 450 seventh and eighth graders. I don't know that we had that many at that time, but that was a school in itself. And then you had the middle schools, and your grades would get bigger, your sections, more sections as you get older.
Yeah.
And then we had 14 special needs teachers, but that might have been later. But first year, I Diane Heitz was the counselor, and so I leaned on her quite a bit, and she helped quite a bit.
Okay.
And the next year, I got an assistant, and Jim O'Mara's assistant. I don't know how many years he was there, and then you came over later.
Yeah.
So, but there were some fun times. I remember that. Of course, some of the eighth graders were they'd been kind of neglected. They were in portables by the high school. And the teachers were kind of on their own, somewhat. So when they got over to Farley, they wanted to spread their wings a little bit. And we had a combination of teachers. We had a few very traditional ones and some younger ones. One day, I remember there was a fight on the top of the steps during the new wing. I could see that. So I'm coming up to, it was before school. So there's about six steps going up there, and I took them about two or three at a time and come sliding up to one of our favorite citizens as he was about to swing and hit this guy. And I don't know whether my shoes were slippery or whatever, but I slid on the terrazzo floor and cut his legs out. And
oh my God.
There are the two of us in a pile on the floor. I don't know about the third guy or not, but it broke up the fight pretty quick. And I thought, gee, this guy's really mean. Means
you're
not supposed to fight.
You mentioned Jim O'Mara. Go ahead.
Get some water. You want some,
Yeah.